To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, it's Friday night, Saturday morning. Time to throw out a hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations around the world. United States, Canada, and elsewhere. Streamlink members, of course. The ImaginativeWorlds.com folks, hello to you. You call themselves the Explorers. The Fantastic Forum Pirates, of course. National Radio Club people, the Yahoo chat rooms, the Sorcery IRC, and a couple more starting to pop up as well. More and more of these groups get together, listen to Coast, and share dialogue. It's pretty fascinating, and it's entertaining, fun, and let me tell you something. We all share a lot of knowledge with all these groups as well. So hello to all of you. Open lines continue in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So yesterday I read a story that had gone all around this country. It was sent out by the major wire services about some water that people were drinking in this small little town near Rhode Island. And women were getting pregnant quicker because of that, because of a chemical that was in the water. And this morning I got an email from someone who got an email from the publisher of the newspaper where that story originated from, and he said, this is a paraphrase, oh my God, it was an April Fool's story that we had to pull, but because our newspaper is so small, we didn't think anybody would even know about the story. And what had happened was it was picked up by a national wire service and it was sent out, and people have been using it for the last couple days now, and apparently it's not a story. So those people who are getting pregnant in that small little town in Rhode Island, it's not because of the water. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm Chris. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hey, Chris. Sure thing.
And I had called because I don't have an access to a computer since for quite some time. The only thing I've got to get access to is a library computer every once in a while.
Sure.
And I was wanted to ask a question if I could. If you, I guess it was 2 to 3 weeks ago, you were talked about on one of your lead stories at the beginning of the program about a pill that some scientists have put together, created, that does something to the metabolism of the human body, and the idea was to
prolong the human
lifespan.
30 years. They're working on that now.
Okay, we're going to get some written information about that.
I'll tell you what, I will have Lex next week do most of the research for you, because it was pretty lengthy for me, and I'd want to go into it tonight on the phone. But I'll have him do some work, and we'll post it on the website. Now, you say you don't have a computer. That's the best place to go, because that's where I got most of my information on this.
Well, I have a computer that I use from time to time, but it's not convenient. My computer's down. A lot of things have happened, and I just don't have one. And I heard the story, and I wanted to get the information and maybe the article or where it was found, or if I could. I actually do have an email address, but I can't get to a computer to use it. So,
well, I tell you what, do you get to a computer maybe once a week?
Something like that, yeah.
Give us a week. I'll have Lex post it under special stories, and I'll have him list all the information for you.
Thank you.
Now, he did say that it was a few years away, so don't think we're going to pop this pill tomorrow.
Oh, no. I just understood that it was some development,
yeah.
and you didn't mention anything since, and I couldn't find it the one time that I was able to go to the website.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, yep. Working on a pill that you'll be able to just pop, and it'll prolong your life 30 years. But it's going to be some time. And in my particular case, by that time, it may be a little too late for me. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How are you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Dave from Susanville, California.
Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. And about three callers back, the guy that hit that apparition in the middle of the road, have you ever watched the Mothman Prophecies?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and about 8 foot tall or, you know, whatever he was saying, kind of weird. Anyway, my comment tonight was about the castle and the pyramids, and something that I heard on your show about 3 weeks ago or so about the possibility of gravity being a frequency, or I don't know if it was your show or not, but if gravity is possibly a frequency and we can figure that frequency out, then what is the possibility of us reversing that frequency, amplifying it, and matching it to a different object and being able to move that object and, you know, no matter what the weight is?
Good point. Maybe they're able to negate gravity entirely by doing something with the frequency. And I see, I've always believed that frequency, tone, sounds could do a lot of things. You know, a lot of people used to say that chanting in unison, for example, at a certain pitch,
yes,
could do things.
And, you absolutely
know, who used to know 100,000 Egyptians didn't all do that, and that's how they move these blocks.
Good possibility, but for one man to be able to move all these stones, I don't know, just another theory.
Another thing to listen to. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. Let's go to our Wish Hotline. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hey, this is Steve in Louisville, Kentucky, truck driver.
Going to be a lot of action there in May pretty soon, huh?
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby time. What's your wish?
My wish would be to get rid of all the evil and the bad things and bad people and have eternal life in the promised land with all the people I love and all the good people in the world.
What a wonderful wish that would be.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could ever make that one come true for you.
Yeah, that's my dream, I believe.
Why would you bring that up? I'm curious.
Because I lost a lot of aunts and uncles and my grandparents and all kinds of friends and people I love, and I'd like to be back with them.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate your call. And appreciate you sharing that with us, too. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Brett from north of West Indiana, out in the middle of nowhere.
Somewhere out there. Just drive carefully wherever you might be.
Oh, I'm coming home from work. That's all good. It's a route.
Oh, no. He's gone. Come back. You know what? Maybe I did that. Let's try. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, through the miracle of God, there you are.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, George. Okay, me and my wife, about the same time, we were having, like, sleep paralysis, you know? And we woke up one morning, and she felt like somebody was getting in bed with her, and I saw a shadow. Like, everybody keeps talking about these shadow figures.
Yeah.
In the corner of the room. And it took three drastic, almost cartoonish steps across the room. And I remember thinking to myself, my heart's going to stop. I got to wake myself up. My heart's going to stop. I knew what was happening. I'd listened to Art Bell for years. I'd read a lot of UFO books. You know, I knew about sleep paralysis. And I started getting very, like, paranoid that I was going to shut my body down. And I woke up and I said, Mother God, you know, and I looked at my wife and she said, what was going on? I said, I don't know, you tell me, you know. She said I was like shaking. And, but I don't know, I never, until I started hearing your guests talk about the shadow people or whatever they call them, I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, but now she didn't see the shadow person?
No, because she was still asleep, but she said that she kind of was like in a sleep paralysis and she felt the covers move. And somebody get on the opposite side of the bed, into bed with her. And she said she wasn't afraid. You know, it wasn't like a big deal. You know, she just said that she felt a presence. And literally, it was like for a month we were going through this sleep paralysis. It was the strangest thing. And I don't know if it was because I opened myself up to that train of thought with reading all the UFO books that I was reading. It was just the whole period of my life, and I was really into that. You know, I mean, I don't know if it was a psychological thing or what.
Well, you know, sometimes you make yourself more sensitive to all this, to those surroundings, and maybe they're always there. We're just not aware of them. And
I agree.
Yeah, that could have been. But now it's gone?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had it in years. I moved out of that house a couple of years ago, and I never had it. But, you know, just nothing major. I mean, but hey, about that movie, George, you ever seen the movie Donnie Darko?
No.
Okay, it sounds crazy, but it's about wormholes. I don't want to give too much away, but I think you'd really enjoy it. It kind of comes off as an adolescent type of deal, but in the end, it's about God and fate and wormholes. That's the craziest doggone thing, but it's a really good movie.
Okay, thanks for the tip.
Hey, Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too. You too. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hello.
You are on.
Hey, how you doing, George?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Oh, interesting spot. Great skiing, fun.
Oh, yeah. A little cold today.
Is it really?
We had some snow. We had everything.
That's weird for this time.
Oh, hell, we had the whole works today.
Man, let me tell you. What's Vegas like? Do they get the same kind of weather?
No, they're a lot different than we are, you know. It's just a total different atmosphere over there. You're more in the desert.
I just heard a cruiser just go buzzing by you.
Yeah, there's a big fire right down the way from the pepper mill here.
How big?
Yeah, it's pretty big, an apartment complex.
Oh, everybody okay?
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like they got everybody out okay. I don't think anybody got hurt.
That's good.
Anyway, you know what my wish is?
What is
it? I wish that someone would come up with a cure for everybody's ailments, diseases, cancer, and the whole works, and love and peace on earth, man. Simple as that.
You know, I don't think they want to come up with all these cures.
You know, I'm a firm believer. I know they have a cure for cancer, but like, you know, there's no money in a cure.
There's no money in a cure. The money's in the research.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at all the stuff they're recalling back on just simple ailments.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Hey, are you on a handheld phone or what?
Well, yeah, it's a cell phone. Yeah.
How close are you to the fire? Can you interview anybody there for us?
No, I can't. I'm about maybe a quarter mile away.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's pretty hectic over there.
There's a lot.
I mean, that's a big apartment complex. You have to get on it really fast.
That's my old news hound coming out of me again.
Yeah. It'll always be in your blood.
You got that right. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, God bless you.
Appreciate that. I used to remember getting woken up. I was 21 years old, and they'd call me and say, oh, there's a big fire here. You've got to go out there. And I kept saying, this is radio. Why do you want me up there? 5 a.m, but I'd have to go out there and do a live play-by-play, basically, of a fire or something that was going on. But, man, I remember one strange story I covered in Detroit a long time ago, and I can't remember the date, but there was a guy who had gone ballistic, and he got fired, I think, from a hospital, and I think it was Detroit General. And he went back to the hospital with a gun, wanted to kill his boss, and start shooting out the window. And they sent me out there to cover this story, 21 years old, this go do this thing. So I come running around the corner, and I'm between the shooter, who's looking out the window, and the police department, the Detroit police officers. And there's me. And I so quickly went back around the corner, and I found a phone booth at the time. We didn't have cell phones then. And I dialed up the station, and I went live for about an hour and a half on my back at the bottom of the phone booth while this guy was shooting out the window. And they finally went in and got him. Oh, man, those are strange times. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine. And where are you tonight?
I'm in Cincinnati. My name's Nathan.
Hey, Nathan.
The reason why I was calling you, I was wanting to tell you about a picture that I'd found that's possessed or something. I found it. I was renting a house in New Albany, Indiana, and in the basement, I was going through some papers and things that was in there, and I found this old picture of Jesus. And I thought it was weird because he was throwing a peace symbol. And I took it and put it in a frame and hung it up and down in the basement because I'd play guitar down there sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I had a friend that would come over all the time and listen to me play guitar and whatnot. And one night I was down there playing guitar, and it was kind of late at night, but I was playing guitar, and my friend Tom was just down there, you know, listening to me and this and that. I was done playing guitar, I looked up, and at that picture of Jesus, and usually he's throwing a peace symbol. Like I said, he was throwing a peace symbol. Well, this time when I looked up, he was holding a stopwatch in one hand and pointing at my friend Tom with the other hand, and there was like a burning baby standing behind him.
What?
I don't know what it was supposed to mean. I still to this day don't know. But I looked over at Tom, and his eyes was rolled back up in his head, and he was sitting there like he was having a seizure or something.
Was possessed himself.
I don't know, but I freaked out. I jumped up, and I grabbed Tom, and I just started shaking him as hard as I could. I was like, get up, Tom. I was like, get up. I was like, what's wrong with you? And I couldn't get him up or anything. I was getting ready to take off and grab the phone and call an ambulance or something. And about that time, I heard him say, where are you going? Because I was going up the stairs. And I was like, what was wrong with you? And he said, I don't know. And I turned around and looked back at that picture of Jesus, and he was standing back there with the peace symbol. And I was like, and I told him about it, and he was like, I don't know what happened. He was like, I was sitting there listening to you play guitar, and he was just like, he just blacked out.
That is one weird story. I don't think the picture was possessed. I don't know what it was, but I don't think it was possessed.
Well, see, the oddest thing about it is 2 months later, my friend Tom died from an alcohol overdose. So I don't know if it was something telling me what was going to happen in the future or what. But I've still got the picture to this day, and anybody that sees it, you know, even if they're religious or whatever, gets scared around this picture.
Maybe the stopwatch was basically the picture's way of telling you that Tom had a certain amount of time left.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I thought, but I still can't figure out what the burning baby standing behind him was supposed to be.
The burning baby.
Yeah.
That is as bizarre as it gets. No, I don't know. I can't help you on that one. West of the Rockies. Nope. Let's go to our wishing line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. First time caller. I'd like to this story. My name's Dan. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hey, Dan. Welcome. It's Richard Hoagland's area.
Yes, sir. I would like to make a wish to hear Oscar's voice again. I'm curious about the gentleman.
Do you think he's authentic, or do you think he's just some guy?
Logic tells me he's not authentic, but...
Can't use logic all the time.
Yeah, you can't just dispel a guy like that. But I was curious to hear about Rachel's behalf.
And you know what? Somebody called us last night and said that Oscar won't be calling tonight, that he has gotten rid of Oscar through some ritual, and he was able to do it when Rachel came on the air last week.
I see.
So we'll find out, because we've got an hour and a half left, and if he's going to pop up, he's got to pop up pretty soon.
Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Norrie.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, over the last couple weeks, a fellow by the name of Oscar, who claims that he is the son of Satan, has called with some darn chilling voice, let me tell you. And then last week, he called with and then had the woman that he apparently has possessed her soul. She came on, and it basically is looking for help. And Oscar says that there have been 122 exorcisms attempted on him. One has worked, and he has obviously found another victim. Well, open lines continue, and our wish hotline, of course, is 818. Strange wishes tonight, by the way. 818-817-0021. Our website, coasttocoastam.com. We'll be doing some modifications to it very soon. And by the way, those of you who are StreamLink members, especially, you'll be getting some more features that'll just blow your mind. And for those of you who aren't StreamLink members, you'll still be able to get a lot of great things off the website. I'll be back. I'm wishing all the
rainbows that I see. The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. I'm wishing on all the loving we've ever done. With George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know what's so great about you listening to this program? Several people have already emailed me and fast-blasted me Don Herbert's email address, Mr. Wizard. That is so cool, and I have already sent him off an email and telling him I'd love for him to be a guest, at least for 1 hour on the program. So let's see if Don responds. He is 87, 88 years old, hasn't made a public appearance since 1988, they say. But that would be so neat to be able to get him on, because I think all of us at one time in our life during our childhood, those of us old enough, will remember Mr. Wizard and those wonderful television shows. I mean, I used to do experiments at home based on the things he would try to teach us. And some of them worked, and some of them did not. The After Dark newsletter, now that's something that'll work for you all the time. As a matter of fact, we're working on a very special UFO edition that you'll get, along with the 14 issues for the price of 12. Couple ways to order After Dark, 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. I did get an email today from a gentleman who said, George, I love the program and I love the newsletter. I cannot afford $39 a month for this newsletter. That's way too high. And I emailed him back and I said, it's $39 a year, not a month. And he jumped right on it. He's become a new subscriber as well. So that's cool. Back in a moment. And by the way, when I mentioned that some of my Mr. Wizard experiments didn't work, it wasn't his experiments. It was me, the guy trying to do it, that didn't make them work. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
This is Jade from Franklin, Idaho.
Hey, Jade, what's on your mind?
I don't know if this is, kind of a prophecy or my own paranoia or if it's just a coincidence, but ever since I've been a little kid, I've had this kind of overwhelming gut feeling that I'm going to die young. And I had a dream when I was about 13 years old that I was going to die when I was 27 years old.
How old are you?
I am 20 years old now. And since then, I have run into the number 27 several times. I had quite a few friends that their phone number started with 27 and just weird things like that. And I've been watching a lot of shows on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and stuff like that about the end of the world lately. And I've heard a lot of prophecies that it's going to happen in the year 2012. Oddly enough, in the year 2012, I'll be 27 years old.
Yeah, that's the year for you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it must be pretty difficult if you are beginning to believe this to carry through every year. I mean, does it scare you?
It does a little bit, but it's been ever since I was about 8 years old that I've had a feeling that I was going to die young, so I'm pretty used to the idea.
Have you had any problems in your family with early deaths?
No, not really. I've actually not felt like it was going to be an illness or anything like that. There hasn't really ever been cancer or heart disease. I do have a hypothyroid, but that's, you know,
that's controllable.
Right. But no, it's just, I don't really have any health problems, no reasons for me to believe. So I've just, ever since I was about eight, I've had that feeling.
Are you psychically inclined? Do you have any special talents, gifts there?
Not that I've noticed too much. I mean, a lot of the times I'll have like a bad feeling about something and something bad will happen. But I don't know if that's just intuition or if that's actual, you know, some psychic ability.
Well, I want you to do me a favor, if you would. Okay. This is going to be a 7-year project for us with you. Okay. But regardless of when you call during open lines and things like that, at least once a year, I want you to check in with us as we get close to that 2012 date.
Okay.
I want it to be to a point where we have such a rapport with you that we know once a year you say, hey, it's me, remember, we'll all know you, and every year, at least during any specific portion, and let's time it in December, if you want. When's your birthday?
January 5th.
January 5th. And 2012 is the one we're concerned about, is December 21st. So you'll be 26, will you not be? Or you'll be 27 in 2012. Is that what you're saying?
I will be 27 in 2012.
Okay. But the date we're concerned about is December 21st, 2012. So that's 11 months away for you.
Yeah.
So check in with us, you know, every year, definitely. How about this? Every January, check in with us, and then as we get close to, then I hope we're going to hear from you in 2012 on your birthday.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
And then I want you to talk to us in December 2012.
Okay.
All right? We're going to use you as a guide on this thing.
All right.
All right, you got a deal.
It sounds good.
All right. And if you make it, chances are we're going to make it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, appreciate it. And then if we're not here, well, there'd be no need to make a phone call for any of us. But I have a feeling you will be if you take care of yourself. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Leonard calling from Gadsden, listening to you on WAAX, Wax Radio. Yes, I have wax in my ears. Sir, if you can answer this question for me, I can tell you where you can hear Oscar's voice in a major motion picture. First, where is my soul, George? Is it in my brain? They say that the eyes are the window to the soul. So is it in the middle of my forehead?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it in my heart?
I don't know. I can't tell you where it is. I know
maybe.
It's probably just somewhere in that whatever it is that's attached to your body. You know?
The way my wife's been going, I think it's somewhere in my colon.
It might be.
Okay, sir. Okay, you can hear Oscar's voice in the trilogy of Star Wars when Princess Leia rescues Han Solo from Jabba the Hutt. When she approaches Han Solo to rescue him, she's in an apparatus and has a voice apparatus on that sounds just like Oscar.
So you're saying Oscar is mimicking that sound?
Either that or perhaps Oscar did a voice over for Star Wars. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
All right, you got it, buddy. That's a good point. Maybe Oscar did do a voiceover for Star Wars. You never know. But we've got an hour and 15 minutes to go and still no Oscar phone call. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir. It's your turn.
Hey,
yeah.
How you doing? This is John.
John, where are you?
I'm out in San Diego listening on Kogo.
Oh, lots of great callers down there.
Oh, yeah. Hey, ex-military, current law enforcement.
Good for you. Oh, yeah, there you are. Remember me if I ever drive that way.
Oh, yeah, I got your back, George.
Okay.
But, hey, listen, buddy, I just wanted to tell you a story about I'm kind of nervous telling the story, but
is one of those hair-raising stories?
Well, for me, it kind of was.
Okay.
It's kind of sleep paralysis, but it was pretty strange. I was asleep one night, and I worked midnight shift, so it was actually in the daytime when I was sleeping. But I woke up, and I know I was awake. You know, I don't know, a lot of people probably know how I feel. But staring at the, I was staring at the wall, and the room was lit and everything. And I could sense somebody was coming down the hallway towards me, right? And I could see it in my mind, but I wasn't facing the hallway.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It's almost like you have eyes behind your head or something like that.
Exactly, George. So I'm seeing this figure, and it's like kind of looming down the hallway, and it's a tall, it's probably like 6 foot tall, a complete shadow. And all I could imagine was, remember Jack Palance?
Yeah.
Real broad-shouldered, like tall, lanky guy?
Yep. He's still alive, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, that whole myth thing.
But, we killed him off a few years ago, but he's still alive.
Yeah, he came back, thank God. But he had that figure of Jack Palance, real broad-shouldered, lanky. And he was wearing a fedora, which is kind of the odd part. And I've been always listening to your show, seeing if anybody else has ever seen the fedora. But behind him was a smaller figure, and it was like, I imagine in my head, it was like a female.
Huh.
And it was almost like they were looming down the hallway, and she was behind him almost like a, this sounds kind of strange, but almost like a trainee type status, you know.
Good point.
So she walks in, he walks in there, and she's behind him, and he kind of just, you know, rolls in, not actually walks. And I can see him looming over me, and I'm trying to turn around on my bed, you know, and say, what the heck's going on here? And he's looming over me, and she's behind him, and I can't move. I'm trying to swing my arm around. And he looks at her and says, "We'll take the other one." And I don't know what that meant or what it was, but we'll take the other one. He says to her, and then they just slowly, like, you know,
they left. Cruised,
they left back down the hallway.
That
and
is
the
strange.
Funny thing was is I always sleep my door closed, always. And this time, when I finally the paralysis broke and I was able to swing around and look towards the door, my door was open. And so that was always, that always creeped
now,
me out.
Now, what's this, a house apartment that you live in?
It was a condo.
Condo.
Yeah, at the time.
Was there anybody else living in there with you?
I had a roommate, and he was home at the time. Well, actually, no, he was at work at the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I don't know if anything ever happened to him later or not. But
that is weird.
And these people, you know, and one person called your show once, and they said it was the figure, like it was darker than night. And that was exactly what I thought when that happened. When I realized what was going on, I thought, God, it was like darker.
I wonder
than
what made them realize they had the wrong person.
I don't know. I always wondered that, or if that was the case at all. If it was like kind of a Grim Reaper thing,
or what would have happened if they thought you were the right person? I wonder what they would have done.
Exactly. Who knows, George? But that always creeped me out.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 30. That was a year, about a year ago.
Oh, that's not well. All right, so you're a police officer. You've been a police officer for a number of years, I guess.
Yeah, well, about 3 or 4 years.
All right. Well, that's something. Be careful.
All right, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is Sherry in Fort Worth.
You have a delightful voice, Sherry.
It's that Texas-Wisconsin voice. I'm a transplant.
Are you?
Yeah, Texans' worst nightmare.
What got you down to Texas from Wisconsin?
It was more or less fate. I was going through a divorce and trying to find myself, and my mom, who I never knew, was born in San Antonio, and I decided I was going to end up here and try and find myself, and my husband landed here from New Hampshire in the same situation, and we met within a couple months of each other and been together 15 years.
And did you ever find your mother?
No, my mom, actually, that was part of why I was calling. She died when I was 6 months old.
Ah.
And she had that impending feeling that she was going to die young. And that kind of carried over to me, but it never happened.
When did you find out that she had died and you were only 6 months old?
I guess I always knew it. I remember seeing my dad, you know, going through the mourning process, and I was kind of shifted to my grandparents and raised by them for a while. And but it took me probably until I was 40 to really get the real story behind it.
You mean they didn't just tell you when you were younger your mother passed on?
They did, but there was so many extenuating circumstances that they weren't sure what the true story was.
They weren't sure?
Yeah. See, she was, they were hit by an off-duty police officer, inebriated.
Oh, no.
And back in those days, they didn't do anything about it. And
they just had a horrible case in St. Louis a few months ago where a police officer was driving on the freeway, got hit by another car. It was an off-duty police officer who had a very high level of alcohol in his blood system. He's going the wrong way on the freeway.
The wrong way.
Head-on collision. Ugh. So not to interrupt your story, but those horrible things occur all the time.
They really do. And my dad, he's all his life, he keeps running into this same guy. You know, it's just been really weird, but it took me, I'm a genealogist now, so I kind of sent for the accident report and everything that went with it to find out for myself, you know, what the deal was.
You need
to talk about it.
You need to know, don't you?
Yeah, and once you do, boy, it makes all the difference.
Yeah. After that moment, whatever that time occurs, because I think people, when you look at and you face that fact, whatever it is in your life, I think it's pretty emotional, isn't it?
It's very emotional. It really is, but it's so worth it.
It's like a pressure cooker letting off steam.
And that's how it's been all my life, you know, because my dad was so distraught. You know, they were married less than a year.
So how close are you to getting to the bottom, the truth?
I'm pretty much to the bottom of it. I haven't faced the police officer. He's not a police officer anymore, mm-hmm. but I always felt like I needed to do that just to see what was going on in his head. You know, that's just like that.
That's the closure you want.
Right.
You're going to do that?
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
I mean, you know where he is and how to find him and all that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Stayed in the same area.
Well, let's see if you build up the courage for it, or even if you decide not to, you know what? It's your call.
Right. But what I wanted to tell that kid that called her, or I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't call him a kid, about how he felt like he wasn't going to live that long. Well, I
had that 20 feeling. Years old. The young man.
The young man, yes. but it always seemed to me that, and my husband had the same feeling. He felt like he wasn't going to live past 22 or whatever, and right around that time is when we both had life-changing events, you know, and it seems to me maybe that's what he has in store instead of...
Yeah, you know, I know. I know my father, I could see it on his face as I grew up, but his father died at the age of like 50, and, you know, I saw my father as he got close to that age period, just had a different outlook on things. I mean, I really think he thought he was going to die at 50. And I think, I don't know how long in his life he thought that, but once he became 51 and 52, I mean, he got back to himself again. And now he's 82. And but I saw that for a while. You reach a point like this young man did. Unfortunately, in his case, he's been seeing this since he was a kid. But I think a lot of people begin to look at their own life and really begin to question what it's like. I do that sometimes too now.
I think that is such a lesson for people to pick up, and I don't hear too many people really doing that because, you know, we seem to take so much for granted nowadays.
See, I thought a lot about the Pope when he died.
Oh.
I believe in the hereafter. I think I always have. There is a small part of me that says, you know, George, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and there's just nothing there? It's empty. There's nothing. You die, that's it. It's over. Of course, we'll never know, will we? We won't know if it's over, but we'll know if there's a hereafter.
I'll be pretty pissed.
And I thought about the Pope, and I thought about, has he now seen the hereafter? I wonder what he thinks about it. I wonder if it's everything he believed as he was growing up. Or is it that small part that tells you that there's nothing, and that's it for him? He's dead, and he never saw what he believed in all his life. It's very, very perplexing.
Now, that sounds like a great sci-fi movie to come.
Yeah, it may be. It may be. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, George.
Appreciate that. We've still got, oh my gosh, another hour to go. How quickly this night is just flying by. So don't forget the Wish hotline number, 818-817-0021. And Ard's got Ed Dames on tomorrow. This will be a great program because Ed has made a few predictions that are pretty darn close, if they're not right on the button, as a matter of fact. So I'm sure you look forward to listening to that. He'll be on Sunday, and then I'll be back with you on Monday. And during the week, I'll have a full schedule for you later. Linda Moulton Howe will be in the studio here in Los Angeles. We'll have a roundtable discussion on UFOs. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.
I'm outside my window and I watch the cars. I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers. Still crazy.